Let us pray. Lord God, may your Spirit open our ears so that we might hear. Open our spirits and our hearts so that we might desire the things that you would want us to desire. And may the words that I speak and the things we hear today, may they change us. In the name of Christ we pray, amen. Our scripture this morning is found in John, the 20th chapter, the first 18 verses. Hear now the word of God. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over and looked into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they put him." And at this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you put him and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. In Paul's letter to the church at Rome, in what we find in the 10th chapter, Paul writes these words, "If we profess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved." Jesus can be our Savior. Easter is a big deal. It's not a big deal because I tell you it's a big deal. It's been a big deal a lot longer than I've been around. Now, when I was a kid, I thought Christmas was more important. The presents were better. Do I have an amen? You can only eat so many of them eggs. I thought Christmas was it. And then you'd figure out the importance of Easter. Christianity rises and falls on the resurrection of Jesus. Without the resurrection, we would not be here. Easter marks the defeat of death in Christ. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:55, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" That's what we write and know because of the resurrection. This is my 26th Easter sermon. I have been to about 40 more Easter sermons. The question remains the same for me. Why Mary Magdalene? Why Mary Magdalene? Of all the people who were living when Christ was alive and he was crucified and buried, why Mary Magdalene? We could have picked a lot of different people. If we had a committee and we were trying to decide, and we had all the resumes of people who wanted to be the person who was there to see Christ when he rose from the dead, the first person. We got advocates for a number of people. Peter is at the top of the list. Peter was the head of the church, the early church. In the very beginning, when the Holy Spirit showed up, Peter's the one that preached the sermon on Pentecost, where thousands of people became Christians. Peter's a good one. He would be a good one, amen? Peter, the rock, right? He's the one. He's the one that got out of the boat. Jesus is walking on water, and everybody sees him coming, and it's Peter who gets out and walks on water. Now, he took his eyes off Jesus and started sinking. Have y'all ever taken your eyes off Jesus? Don't lie. Jesus is watching you. Yeah, I've taken my eyes off Jesus and I've sunk. But he walked on water. He got out of the boat. When Jesus took the disciples to Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus asked him, "Who do they say that I am?" Well, some say you're Elijah, and some say you're like Moses. Some say you're a prophet. But who do you say that I am? And Peter had the forethought, the knowledge of whatever, and he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter would be a good one. But Peter is boastful. He's got a little too much pride, doesn't he? He likes to brag a little bit. He really does. You know, after he had said that Jesus was the Son of the living God, then Jesus said, "I'm going to Jerusalem and I'm going to die." And he said, "No, you're not. That's not in the cards. You're going to Jerusalem. We're going to run the Romans out of Jerusalem. Get behind me, Satan." On the night of the Last Supper, the disciples were arguing about who was the greatest and who was the best. They had their names in order, and Peter, I bet you a dollar to a donut, was arguing for him to be number one. And then he says, "All these other people, they're going to might fall away, but I will never fall away." Put it on with Jesus. And Jesus says, "Peter, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." Well, maybe not Peter. You know, he denied Christ. Y'all ever denied Christ? Have you? Have you ever been somewhere and somebody said something about your faith and you kind of shied away? Have you? Well, if not Peter, how about there's a good contingent for John the apostle, because John is the one who wrote, we think, five books of the New Testament. He wrote the Gospel of John in those three letters, John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and he wrote Revelation. Certainly he would qualify. He was one, he likes to be known as the beloved disciple. Jesus loved him. That would be a good one, right? Let him be the first one to see the resurrected Christ. Well, that might be true, but you know, John's got a temper. He's known as, he and his brother James, as the sons of thunder. Their temper was so great. He's also an exclusionary kind of person. It tells us that one time, John comes upon these people who are casting out demons in Jesus' name. These people were doing good, right? Casting out demons, that's good. But he said, "No, you're not one of us. Y'all got to stop. You can't do that in Jesus' name because you're not one of us." Okay, he doesn't love everybody. We need to, maybe John is not the one we need to invite to be the first one. How about Andrew, Peter's brother? He was the one who invited Peter to meet Jesus. That's a pretty good thing. He's an evangelist. But you don't know much more about Andrew after he invited Peter. What about Philip? Philip was the guy who invited Nathanael. But we don't hear anything about him after that either. Well, Nathanael would be a good one, because when Philip introduced, he said, he's from Jesus, from Nazareth. And Nathanael said something that wasn't really kind. He said, can anything good come from Nazareth? Have y'all ever said that about anybody? Don't lie. I said, can anything good come from Tuscaloosa? And I got a laugh like that. Can anything good come from Clemson? Or can anything come from a lot of places? And we laugh because we don't think they're as good as we are. Have you ever looked at somebody and thought you were better than them? Who can we have? Who should be the first one? Thomas would be a good one. You know, if Thomas had been there in the graveyard, the cemetery, the garden that morning, he could have seen Jesus, and it would change everything we know about Thomas. He would no longer be doubting Thomas. He wasn't at the party. He didn't get the email. Something was wrong. He didn't make it that morning, and he wasn't there with the disciples that night. Thomas, I'm not sure he was doubting Thomas so much as I don't think he had his stuff together. He doesn't need to be the first one. Have you ever not had your stuff together? Have you ever been felt convoluted, like all the stars weren't lined up? I don't know who would be. Then I know who would be a good one. Barabbas. Y'all remember Barabbas from Thursday night? He's the one that they let out of jail. He got his get out of jail card in Monopoly at Pilate's place. The people wanted Jesus to be killed, and they let Barabbas go. Barabbas received mercy and grace. And Jesus took Barabbas' death sentence. Jesus should have been let go that night. He would probably, I would like to have seen the look on Barabbas' face if he saw the risen Christ. Have you ever received grace when you should have gotten punishment? Have you ever received mercy when you shouldn't have received it? How about Caiaphas and Annas? They were the high priest. They felt it was okay for somebody to die just so their kingdom wouldn't be disturbed. Would they be a good person to see Jesus? Why Mary, though? That's the question. Why Mary, of all the people who could have seen Jesus, why Mary Magdalene? You see, that's the hard part. It's the hard part for me. It's like God messed up. He messed up at Jesus' birth. The angels didn't have the right field in their ways or something, and they took a wrong turn, and they show up in the middle of this field with a bunch of shepherds who you cannot trust. The reason they're working at night is because they can't get a job in the daytime. And the angels show up, and what do they say? For you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The good news, the great good news, are told to a bunch of shepherds who cannot be trusted. But they went where they were supposed to go, and they worshiped Jesus. Why does God choose the most unlikely people to do his bidding? And now we got Mary, a woman. You know, they don't have resurrections every other day in Jerusalem. You need a credible witness. You need somebody who can be trusted if they're going to tell the world that Jesus, who you crucified, has been raised from the dead. Don't you? But it was Mary. It was Mary. That's the part that makes you wonder. Women couldn't even be a witness in a criminal case. Besides that, she was a woman who was delivered from 7 demons. I've known some women who were possessed. Not with 7 demons. 7 in the Bible terms is complete. So you can just imagine, and I'm not saying anything about women, please just hear me. But they were a complete mess, according to the Bible. She might have been seeing things. You really wouldn't want Mary Magdalene to be the one, would you? But it says that Mary went to the garden while it was still dark. Light and dark in the Bible doesn't mean just the time of day. It doesn't. Y'all remember Nicodemus? When did he go see Jesus? At night. And he talked to Jesus, and Jesus told him, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." At night. Mary knew what darkness was. She had lived in darkness. She lived in darkness with 7 demons, and the one who is the light invited her into the light, into the beautiful light. And that took courage. She went to the cemetery, and the first thing she saw was that the stone had been rolled away, and she gambled to go tell Peter and John, and she told them, and I can imagine them saying, "Oh no, Mary's seeing things again." And they go, and they see that Mary was not lying. And what did they do after going into the tomb? They went home. What did Mary do? She stayed there. And she looked in. She looked in. And she saw angels at the head and the foot. And she got to see Jesus. The reason Mary got to see is because she was the first one there and the last one to leave. And that's powerful. You see, from everyone who has been given much, much is expected. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. And as Jesus said, the one who loved more deeply was the one who was forgiven of more. That's why she stayed. Why Mary? Because Mary loves the least, the last, and the lost. And no matter where you think you are among the least, the last, and the lost, we all stand in need of God's grace. No matter if you think you're Peter or you're John or whomever it is, or Barabbas or whomever it is, all of us fall short of the glory of God. And Jesus died for us anyway. And that's a love that will not let us go. I'm thankful for Mary Magdalene, who had the courage to go in the dark and stay till it got light and got to hear her Savior say, "Mary," call her name. If you've never heard Jesus call your name, I hope one day you will, that you will find your way from the dark into the glorious light. May it be so in all of us. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your servant Mary, a willing servant to be early and to stay till it was over, to stay long enough to hear you call her name. May we bask in your presence. May we bask as you call our name. And may we be thankful for all the ways you have loved us, even when we were not worthy of your love, your mercy, and your grace. Amen.